This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Well, last week was a very momentous time for the Bonavista Peninsula. UNESCO has officially declared the Bonavista Peninsula, the Discovery Region, a geopark. And here to talk about the significance of that and why the Bonavista Peninsula in particular is so important are two guests. One is John Norman. He's the chair of the Discovery Geopark Board. He also happens to be the mayor of Bonavista. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
Great. And we have Dr. Jack Matthews on the other side of the pond. He's a research fellow with the Oxford University Museum of Natural History in the UK. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. So I'll start with you, John. What is a UNESCO geopark?
Well, UNESCO geopark is a fairly new UNESCO brand, and it's basically a territory with nationally and internationally significant geological features within that region or territory. And it's a project that a group of volunteers and various levels of government and others have been working on now on the Bonavista Peninsula for about 13 years.
13 years is a long time. How did it all come to be? What sparked all of this?
Well, Jack can jump in at any time here, but originally there was some exploration ongoing and mapping by the provincial government, and some geologists were out in the area doing research, discovered some specific fossil beds in and around Port Union, and they went to speak with Edith Sampson, who's the executive director, the manager for the Coker Foundation, for those that know the Heritage District, the National Heritage District in Port Union. So she manages that. And this geologist then discussed the idea of, you know, geopark, the significance of the finds in the Port Union area. And I guess there the seed was planted, and Edith Sampson and others then came together about 13 years ago. I joined in 11 years ago as a volunteer and tried to move the idea forward.
So, Dr. Jack Matthews, this is a good opportunity to bring you into the conversation. What was your role in this effort?
So, my first visit to the Bonavista Peninsula was way back in 2008 as a young undergraduate student in earth sciences, field assistant to a research team. And we were looking at the fossils which had recently been published by Sean O'Brien and others who worked for the Provincial Geological Survey. And as John said, it's really down to them that the international significance of the Discovery Global Geopark was recognized and that seed planted that this wonderful international designation should be sought after. So researchers from all around the world come to visit this area because of its importance in a geological period known as the Ediacaran. There are rocks on the eastern side of the peninsula from as old as 580 million years ago. But what's of most interest are the fossils, mainly around the Port Union area, from anywhere between 560 and 570 million years ago. And these tell the really important transition in Earth history from a world which was mainly with life in it that was microbial and microscopic to one where the first big organisms arrived, ones that you could see with your eye, and therefore we can see their fossils without using microscopes. And a recent discovery that colleagues from Cambridge and myself worked on was the discovery of a fossil called Heutia quadriformis, which was discovered just outside of Port Union and is now in the rooms. And we shouldn't also forget the long-standing work that's been done by the province's Memorial University, not just on the fossils, and they've been an integral part of the research that's been done and is being done on the fossils on the eastern side, but also the general geology of the area and the important glacial history. This, I know we often talk about the fossils, and it is the thing that brings the international significance to the area. But one of the fascinating things about the Discovery Geopark is that it has such a varied geology. It's not just fossils. It's the coastal landscapes and the processes that make them. It's the glaciology and the glacial history of the area. It's so many different things. It's really a natural laboratory that people can go out into and learn whatever they want to about geological history.
So, Dr. Matthews, this Ediacaran period is really the dawn of complex life on Earth.
Absolutely. So life has been around on Earth for the best part of 3.5 billion years, but it's really only recently, in the past 570 million years, that life has got big and it's got complex. And so that's the geological period known as the Ediacaran. And if you're a scientist and you want to understand what's going on here, if you want to look at the origins of animal life, then you only have a select number of places to go in the world where rocks of this ancient vintage are available to be seen on the coastline. And Newfoundland really is the most premier destination for any scientist wanting to study this period. So your listeners may be aware of the UNESCO World Heritage status at Mistaken Point on the southern shore. The rocks on the Bonavista Peninsula are of a similar age, and it was because of the fossils that were found by the provincial survey, and they were able to compare them to what had already been discovered at Mistaken Point, that people were aware of just how rare these fossils were and just how important they were. Firstly, that they needed to be protected, and it's been great work by the Department of Tourism, Culture, Industry and Innovation that have worked to establish the legislation both to protect these very rare fossil sites and also to make sure that they're accessible to visitors, because obviously that's an important part of a geopark. And that's all played to underpin this bid, which has been led, and it must be stressed, been led by the community volunteers. This is not just, as a paleontologist and someone interested in fossils, I might talk about Port Union a lot, but this is a whole host of communities from Trinity all the way through Bonavista down to Tickle Cove, all working together for a clear goal to get this UNESCO designation, because it's going to mean wonderful things for the communities, the businesses, education and culture in the area. It's a wonderful thing to see.
When we come back after the break, I want to speak with John about what this designation will mean for the region. And Dr. Matthews, I want to get a little more into these creatures that have been discovered in the rocks and just how they came to be so perfectly preserved. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And my guests today are John Norman. He happens to be the mayor of Bonavista, but he's also chair of the Discovery Geopark Board. And Dr. Jack Matthews. He's a research fellow with the Oxford University Museum of Natural History in the UK. And Dr. Jack Matthews is well familiar with the area. He was part of a research team led by Cambridge University who found some of those significant fossils that we're talking about and has led us to this point. John Norman, I'm going to start with you on during this segment. What does this UNESCO designation mean for the area?
Well, of course, UNESCO is an internationally accepted and celebrated brand, so I don't think I can under-exaggerate the value that UNESCO added to the Bonavista Peninsula will bring. I've toured myself a number of UNESCO World Heritage Sites, over a half dozen UNESCO Global Geoparks. They tend to be more and more in rural areas that you'd see on the global map when you look at the UNESCO Global Geopark map. And we are a very common place in our socioeconomic condition for UNESCO to place a geopark. They love to see sustainable economic development, celebration in the opportunities to educate the public, the visiting public, and the local public. And we offer all of that and see it as a perfect overlay to what we've been offering with our cultural, historic, and arts pieces over the last number of years and that the Bonavista Peninsula has become so known for. So this is just yet another gem to add, probably the largest jewel since it's UNESCO, to add on top of our already diverse offerings for the region.
You outlined some of the intensive work that's gone into this, and I spoke myself with Edith Sampson in Port Union a few years ago, and she outlined it all for me. It was really quite extraordinary. But what work still needs to be done?
Well, of course, if you have, if you're lucky enough to receive UNESCO designation in any form, there will always be work, because of course there are regular reevaluation processes that one has to go through, that organizations and regions have to go through. There will always be development. You'll see when you come to the Bonavista Peninsula this year or next, 10 sites which are already geosites within the territory, which are already seeing interpretation in place, benches, trailways, and so on. So infrastructure. But there's much more to be done, and there are many more sites that aren't yet highlighted to the public with formal interpretation and these pieces of infrastructure. So new sites will be added to the public. New sites, and Jack can speak to that, will be highlighted for the academic field, for those researchers that are coming in from all around the world on a fairly regular basis now. And it's going to be really a growing piece for the region for years and years to come. I'm sure there'll be more interpretation put in place in various communities around the region. And these are all things that we have to review now in our management plan as we go forward. We have a multi-year plan. The board is sitting down in just a few weeks, and we're going to view next steps now that we officially have the designation.
How will it be marketed? Who's responsible for that? Will it be regional, provincial, global, through UNESCO itself?
Well, that's one of the biggest pieces that that we've been really excited about. And for those of us lucky enough to have attended Global Geopark conferences, UNESCO conferences around the world over the last few years, touring some of these other geoparks, UNESCO Global Geopark is a very well-known brand in Europe and Asia. We hope to see a nice increase in the number of visitors that we see from those continents. And most of our visitors for the Bonavista Peninsula now come from North America, the vast, vast majority. So this opens up all new opportunities for us. And this will be marketed locally, provincially, nationally, with the national body that oversees Canadian geoparks, as well as CC UNESCO, the Canadian Commission for UNESCO, UNESCO Global in Paris, and beyond. So everyone is on board, and you'll be seeing campaigns around our project and others in Canada at the national level now and over the coming weeks and months as they educate the Canadian public more and more, since we now have five UNESCO Global Geoparks in the country.
John, you know a little thing or two about tourism and drawing people to an area.
We try.
Is there much more infrastructure that will be needed? I mean, you really don't want to see this become a tourist trap, but what kind of infrastructure is needed?
Well, that's the beauty of Geopark, and that's why I think it has been so well supported from the local level, the volunteer, the municipal political level, provincial and federal. You don't need that much extra infrastructure or human resources. We try to look at this as a wonderful opportunity to overlay the telling of the geological history and this story with much of our existing infrastructure and human resources. Because as we all know, in Newfoundland and in many other places, there are times of fiscal restraints, and I think Newfoundland is in one of those right now. So if there's a way we can leverage more visitors and grow the business community with little extra infusion of cash when it comes to infrastructure and human resources, then that's all the better. And that's a big piece of the geopark as well, using a lot of existing assets, of existing volunteers, existing human resources. Of course, there'll always be a little extra needed, but not nearly as much as some may expect.
Dr. Jack Matthews, John Norman just then referenced these new sites that you might have some knowledge about. What are you looking at in that area right now?
Yes, so there's as John says, there's 10 sites already with interpretation. You can go on the Discovery Geopark website and find some information about those and visit them right away. But there's a host of other sites that are ready to be developed. And there are some sites that, for conservation reasons, won't be advertised. And that's absolutely right and proper. You have some of the most spectacular fossils in the world, and sometimes we have to be very, very careful with these paleontological resources. But just to build on what John was saying, one of the wonderful elements where you can bring the geology and the tourism together here to get a better product, end product, is the fact that there is this geological story weaving through the region, which means that unlike with other tourist products where you might go to one community in the area, but you might not be compelled to go to the next. With under a geopark, you might visit Trinity and see the wonderful geological story we tell there about why Trinity is called what it is, why the harbour is the shape it is, and how that has been formed under geological processes, and hopefully be compelled to move on to the next community and learn a little bit more about the whole geological story. And that's what's wonderful about what we've seen in the last 13 years. In the region is all these communities coming together to tell a geological story that is greater than the sum of their parts. And that's what UNESCO have recognized in giving this internationally important designation to the region.
These fossils are significant, no doubt, but they're some might argue they're not as sexy as, let's say, what you can find in Alberta. The rock here is much, much older. What makes these particular creatures so interesting for anybody who is not familiar?
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I would say these fossils are very sexy. I think I've got the data to back that up. I mean, you can go into museums all around the world and they've got dinosaurs in them, but how many museums in the world have fossils from 565 million years ago from the shores of Newfoundland? And that these are incredibly rare. There are only a few places in the world where you can see these fossils. So first and foremost, eastern Newfoundland has some of the oldest, large, complex, multicellular organisms anywhere in the world. And that's what you see at Mistaken Point and in the Discovery UNESCO Global Geopark. And what's even more interesting, and that's what's been studied by the scientists for over a decade now. We've been coming to the Bonavista Peninsula to look at these strange fossils, still trying to understand what they are. These are impressions in the rock that look a bit like leaves, but we know from the geology that they were living in the deep ocean. They couldn't possibly be plants. And because they couldn't photosynthesize, there would be no sunlight at the bottom of the sea. So we've been trying to work out what these very strange organisms are. And then in 2008, we discovered, as we previously mentioned, the fossil Heyutia quadriformis. It was actually my old DPhil supervisor, Professor Martin Brazier, who first spotted it. And it was such a strange and different fossil from what had already been found in this paleo community of rare fossils that we might call it. It was different. It had a different shape. And so it took us 6 years to pull that all apart and understand what was going on there. And then we published, gave it the name Heyutia quadriformis, and you can now see that in the rooms. Where it is stored for absolute safekeeping. That is the oldest evidence in the world of a fossil with muscular tissue. You can actually see the muscle fibers in the fossil. And many paleontologists believe that that is now one of the oldest animal fossils anywhere in the world. And that means if you're a paleontologist, a geologist, a biologist, in anywhere in the world, and you're trying to solve the question of why animals appeared 570 million years ago, you've got to reference what's going on the Bonavista Peninsula of Newfoundland, because it's a key point in Earth history when those large complex organisms and the first animals appeared. So that is why this place is so important. And we were very lucky during the writing and the preparation of the dossier to have support from all around the world, professors and lecturers from many of the big and famous universities across the world, writing in to add their signature to the dossier to say this place is globally significant and absolutely deserves the recognition of a UNESCO Global Geopark status.
My guests today on Target St. John's are John Norman, the chair of the Discovery Geopark Board. He's also the mayor of Bonavista. And Dr. Jack Matthews. He's a research fellow with the Oxford University Museum of Natural History in the UK. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today, John Norman, the chair of the Discovery Geopark Board, and Dr. Jack Matthews, a research fellow with the Oxford University Museum of Natural History in the UK. And we're talking about the Discovery Area, also known as the Bonavista Peninsula. And Dr. Jack Matthews, you touched on this before, but describe to us, if you can, what this region would have looked like in the Ediacaran period.
Back in the Ediacaran, 570 million years ago, eastern Newfoundland would have been in the deep ocean, so deep it would have been dark. You've got to imagine the images we see of submarines in the modern ocean. When they go so deep, it becomes completely dark. And this deep, dark ocean would have been situated very close to a number of volcanic islands, much like we see in the modern Caribbean, with volcanic islands rising up out of the water. And these volcanoes would have, every so often, would have been erupting. And this volcanic ash is really important for us as geologists for two main reasons. It preserves the fossils in spectacular detail. So when this volcanic ash falls through the water and smothers these organisms, obviously a very bad day for the Ediacaran organisms that were living on the deep sea floor, but a brilliant one for paleontologists half a billion years later, because this casts the outside of the fossils and preserves them in immaculate detail. But more than that, inside the volcanic ash is a mineral called zircon, and that is particularly useful to people like me because we can separate that very rare mineral from the volcanic ash, and using a very long-winded process and some geochemistry, we can measure microscopic amounts of uranium and lead in there to get very specific dates for how old these fossils are. So it's because of techniques like that, using these volcanic ashes, that's how we know how old these fossils are on the Avalon and the Bonavista Peninsulas of Newfoundland. And that's why we can, with some confidence, say that these are the some of the oldest animals anywhere in the world.
So did you know what you had when you found Hautia quadriformis? Did you know this was actually muscle tissue you were looking at?
I don't think any of us on the day it was discovered thought it was muscle tissue. What stood out is that it was so different from the other fossils that are found in the area. It just has a completely different shape, and therefore it was probably a completely different biology to the other organisms. And that is why it took such a long time between discovery and publication and us making the news public, because we wanted to be sure of the conclusion that we had come to and really ponder over it for many years. But as I say, in 2014, that paper was finally published. The specimen was moved for conservation reasons to the rooms. And we compare it to that fossil Hautia. We compare that to a modern organism, which we would call a cnidarian. So the cnidarian is the group of animals that includes things like jellyfish, sea anemones, and corals. But this would have been a completely soft-bodied organism that would have looked a little bit like a small wine glass. Imagine a wine glass made out of a jellyfish-like material. So it has a base that it can use to stick itself to the seabed, and then a stem, and then a cup shape. And then on the top of that cup would have been a number of tentacles, which it could have grabbed. We're not quite sure what it would have eaten, though. And that's one of the most exciting things about working in the science and the geology of this area. While so much has been discovered, there's still much more to do. I am sure that more fossils will be discovered, new sites will be found, many more world-leading discoveries will come out of the Bonavista Peninsula. So if there's any young Newfoundlanders and Labradorians out there who want to make their career as a paleontologist, do think about studying the sciences. Go and get a degree in earth sciences and then maybe become a fossil hunter, a paleontologist, and go and find yourself a new species of fossil on the Bonavista Peninsula of Newfoundland.
You might have some older conscripts as well if radio doesn't work out for me. Dr. Jack Matthews, have you had any other examples of this particular creature, or is this the only one that you have?
So this is, when we published back in 2014, we published 1.5, because we thought we found a half specimen alongside this big main one. But we're always keeping our eyes open for new ones. And what's exciting is there are now new graduate students who've started at Memorial University who are going to be working on the Ediacaran rocks, working under Professor Duncan McClure, who's a long-time supporter of the geopark. But also, we've got, when we talk about fossil discoveries, and I've talked about how exciting it is, and young people should get involved. You're absolutely right to say there are people of all ages involved in this, and it should be recognised that it was members of the local community in the Port Union and Catalina area who pointed the geological survey researchers in the right direction to some of the fossil surfaces. So local knowledge here is essential, not just for discovering new sites, but also as local guardians for their own geological resource. As John mentioned, this is a time of financial constraint. We can't afford to have a paleontological warden on every corner. And so what has been so encouraging to see over the past few years working in the area is how much pride and ownership local people have taken over these fossils. They keep an eye out for them. They're always inquisitive to know who's about, who the researchers are. And that is absolutely the best way to make sure that these fossils stay where they are, so they're available for scientific research, but also for all the kinds of exciting geotourism products that can be devised over the coming years as part of the Geopark project. I could imagine in years to come, we're going to see all sorts of wonderful geological tours, both on land and by boat and everything. The world is your oyster when it comes to geotourism on the Bonavista Peninsula. And that's why it's so important that we look after these resources and use them in a very sustainable way. And it's been brilliant to see what a leading role the local communities have played in that.
John Norman, time to bring you in here. And he spoke about how passionate the local residents are. Is that what you're finding in talking to people on the ground in the region?
Absolutely. I think the region has been able to do this and receive this UNESCO status, once again, based on our ability to work together as a functional zone, an economic zone, a social zone, a cultural and art zone. And our communities on the peninsula have been working together so well, a tight-knit group of volunteers, for not just a few years, but actually decades now. So this is just another example of how we work so well together and how we are very persistent on the Bonavista Peninsula. And when we want something, we really push and fight for it and do whatever we can to get us there.
And it's all to help our communities, to help our citizens. Of course, Jack talks about the incredible significance, the geological, educational value of the spaces and places on the peninsula. And we, of course, I'll put on my municipal hat, look at the socioeconomic opportunities, the business growth opportunities that come with having UNESCO designation. So, of course, everyone from the academic to the corner store owner should be very, very excited about this, because it's just going to be positive for everyone. And it's important to point out, as we've been educating the public over the last number of years, that a geopark is a term used internationally now by UNESCO. But for those that still aren't aware, it's not a traditional park per se. It's a territory of land with select geo sites to visit and learn about and tour throughout the region. But there are no new restrictions, no new laws. It's not like we've now covered the Bonavista, the upper end of the Bonavista Peninsula with a national park branding where you can't do this and you can't do that. There's no new rules, no new changes. So there really are just, in my mind, positives to look at when we have this new designation and all the things that will come from it.
Did you find you had to do a little catching up and homework, so to speak? I remember speaking with Edith Sampson a few years ago in Port Union and was struck by how passionately she was speaking about scientific things, some of them quite complex, that only a few years before she knew nothing about.
Certainly it's excited, I think, a lot of people more about the geological history. I'm lucky enough to have a geological background. I actually studied under geologist and physical geographer Dr. Cato at Memorial, and he oversaw my thesis. So my thesis is actually on the coastal erosion of the Bonavista Peninsula. So I've always been very excited about the geological history of the region. Not so much focused, of course, on fossils, but as I said, on coastal geomorphology, erosional processes, looking at amazing, what I call wow sites, like the Dungeon at Cape Bonavista, or maybe you've seen it in the media in the past a few days, an amazing photo taken by Kathy Stacey, who's the executive director for Legendary Coasts, and it's of a beautiful igneous dike, a sea stack, in a little tiny community outside of Bonavista called Spiller's Cove. And it's a foggy, misty day, and this amazingly narrow sea stack called the Chimney is jutting out from the ocean, surrounded by pack ice and icebergs. And it's just amazing to look at that geological history, the glacial piece tied in there, and the cultural ties to the landscape all blended together. I can't see how it wouldn't excite anybody of any age from anywhere.
Anybody who's visited that area of Bonavista knows immediately when you mentioned those sea stacks, that unique, craggy, rocky area. I mean, we all know Newfoundland is famous for its rock, but there's something about those rocks in around Cape Bonavista in particular that are so different.
Well, there's a reason why those rocks at Cape Bonavista are on the new Canadian $10 bill a few years ago.
It is quite amazing. We're going to talk a little bit more about the region as a whole when we come back. My guests today are John Norman. He's the chair of the Discovery Geopark Board. He's also, of course, the mayor of Bonavista. And Dr. Jack Matthews. He's a research fellow with the Oxford University Museum of Natural History in the UK. And we're talking the Discovery Geopark on the Bonavista Peninsula. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
We're back, and we're talking about the UNESCO World Heritage Geopark site designation for the Bonavista Peninsula. John Norman, what area are we talking about specifically? What are the parameters?
It covers about one-third of the Bonavista Peninsula. For those familiar with our geography, it's from the Trinity Bight area, Ireland's Eye, on the Trinity Bay side, all the way up to Cape Bonavista, and then up the other side, Bonavista Bay, to the communities of Tickle Cove, Keels, Openhall, Redcliffe, all of those beautiful little rural towns and villages.
Keels is interesting, and I might bring Dr. Jack Matthews in on this one because of the Devil's Footprints. What exactly is that type of geological feature?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how can you not go and visit something so intriguingly named as the Devil's Footprints at Keels? The site at Keels is our tiny little bit of Cambrian geology on the peninsula, so just a little bit younger than the geology of the rest of the peninsula. And there you can see these lines in the rock with indentations that look like they've been made by a cloven hoof. So these were, of course, interpreted at a certain time as the footprints of the devil himself. But of course, we know now that these are what are called sedimentary concretions, little zones of kind of a limestone-type chemistry that preferentially weather out through due to all the rain and everything, and these weather out, leaving these curiously shaped potholes in the cliffs around Keel. So again, you can go there, and there's a beautiful interpretation panel that explains this story, the wonderful rich history of why they're called Devil's Footprints, and then a little bit of the geology as well to pair with that. And then you can walk and have a beautiful look around what is an incredibly stunning community. And also go and look at hopefully some of the other sites. I mean, Kickle Cove has an absolutely stunning sea arch, you know, one of these wow localities that John was talking about. And there's also an interesting geological story there, not only in the sea processes that have carved that arch, but also in the building of modern Newfoundland from various bits of continental plates that have come together and stuck together over the years to build modern-day Newfoundland. And you can see the stresses and strains that those tectonic processes have imparted in the rock in that arch at Kickle Cove. And then, of course, there's just the absolutely beautiful, stunning coastline at King's Cove next to the lighthouse. Varied coloured rocks of all different colours. And that's just a brilliant site to go for a hike and see those rocks and learn a bit about sedimentary geology, the geology of rocks which are made of sand and silt and mud. So that's just a flavour of just some of the sites that are developed on the west coast of the peninsula. But as John said, absolutely more to come over the years. The geopark will keep building. More communities will have sites developed in them. It's a very exciting time for the peninsula.
John Norman, you're a Renaissance man. You did your thesis on this. What sort of processes were involved in heaving this rock out of the bottom of the ocean and up into the area that we know today?
Well, my area is quite specific. What I've studied are the erosional processes around the coastline. Of course, we have a highly reflective, high-energy coastline. And when you look at a place like Tickle Cove, or you look at a place like Red Cliff, and you see these fantastic arches, and you see these fantastic gloops, collapsed sea caves, formed as the dungeon at the provincial park at Cape Bonavista, you can begin to understand, even at an elementary level, and be able to teach school-age children, which we now do, and our consultant, past project manager, Amanda McCallum, had been doing over the past year, reaching out to school-age children in the area and explaining them basically, you know, erosion 101, sedimentology 101, geology 101, and how someone of any age can really understand some of these very basic processes. It's, as Jack alluded, almost like a living lab on the Bonavista Peninsula. So whether you're an elementary school student, an undergrad, or a PhD researcher, or anything in between, there's really something for everybody. And as I mentioned with the chimney at Spiller's Cove, some of these sites are simply just wow. You look at the power and the energy of the ocean, the frost heave that creates these amazing features, and you understand the basic resistances between, say, the sandstone at Spiller's Cove versus that amazing chimney or igneous dike that's jutting out. And you can pose a simple question of, why? Why is this very tall, narrow sea stack remaining and all the other rock around it is gone? Well, it's because, as you could teach anyone at any grade level, the rock surrounding that igneous dike was weaker. It eroded faster. That igneous dike, or that intrusion that creates the stack there at Spiller's Cove, was more resistant. Why is it more resistant? And then we can talk about the makeup of that rock, the age of that rock. So you can really teach it at any level. And I think that's what's so exciting. It's just for everybody.
And, of course, as you alluded to earlier as well, as did Jack Matthews, the glaciation or the effect of glaciers on the region as well.
Absolutely. There's amazing features that represent glacial movement across the Bonavista Peninsula and the retreat of those glaciers 10 and 12,000 years ago. And we see some very curious sites, and Jack can pop in here as well, such as the questionable Felsenmere that we see up on top of Burnt Ridge, the large geographical landmass between landform between Elliston and Bonavista. And these are kind of question marks. Is it Felsenmere? Is it not? There is a bit of debate in this. And this is, again, a completely different field that one would study, the glacial landscape and the glacial history of the region in the most recent period, the Quaternary period, the last 15,000 or so years.
So, Dr. Jack Matthews, tell us more about this.
Absolutely. It's not all very, very old geology. And one place, let's imagine, let's go to Port Rexton, just northeast of Trinity. And if you go and stand on the hill at Port Rexton, you will see around you, in general, the coastline is a cliff about 5 metres tall. And then the land is very flat near the coastline. And that's what's called a raised beach. Because what's happened there is that as the glacier that was here 12,000 years ago has thawed and disappeared, the land has rebounded and has risen over the following 12,000 years. And you can think of that in the same way that if you sit down on the bed, the mattress sinks down. That's what the crust does of the earth when you put a glacier on top of it. And as you stand up, which is just like getting rid of the glacier, defrosting the glacier from the land, the mattress will rebound, it will rise up. And that's exactly what is happening with the land in the Bonavista Peninsula. You can see these raised beaches where the land has risen over the past 12,000 years to give this modern Quaternary age geological feature. So there's all sorts of stories to be told. We can look at glaciers from the last 12,000 years. We can also look at glaciers from 580 million years ago to the south of Trinity, where there's the story of the Snowball Earth, a period when the Earth was almost completely covered in ice. If you could have been an astronaut at that point, the Earth would have looked like a giant snowball. And we see the evidence of those ice rafted deposits in the rock to the south of Trinity. So that's what's so intriguing about the geology of this region. It's on all different scales, from coastlines to tiny specimens, from glaciers that are half a billion years old to glaciers that are only a few thousand years old. It's so rich and varied that that's why it's so interesting to go and see. And I hope many people in this time of stay home year will take the opportunity to go and look at some of this beautiful, beautiful geology.
John Norman, less than a minute left. I'll leave the last word to you. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, as Jack and I have highlighted, I mean, we're all very, very excited. And the Geopark, I think, will offer something to everybody from everywhere, every age, every educational background and nationality. It's just open to every type of interpretation. And there are just so many cultural and folkloric and historic ties with the earth science. Come and see the Bonavista Peninsula and the Discovery UNESCO Global Geopark. Do boat tours, do hiking, and drop into a bar and have a glacial isostatic rebound martini with a piece of iceberg ice in it. It's everything you could want.
There you go. Gentlemen, fascinating conversation. Thank you both for joining me on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And tomorrow we're going to be talking fish. Keith Sullivan of the FFAW will be my guest to talk about all of the ways in which the local industry has been affected by COVID and some of the developing situations that have been happening over the last short while. Stay tuned for that.